want to share for a minute. I'm not a big one to like come up and say, I want to greet everybody or whatever, but I just feel like I have to say this. When I'm with you guys and when I'm here and when I'm in Pastor's home, what I see is faithfulness, passion, and love. And I just feel like you guys are a rare group of people, and I honestly don't say that lightly. And Pastor Gary, honestly, you and Irene, you really are the salt of the earth. And we count it a privilege to be with you guys. There's something very special about you and Irene and about the spirit that's in you and about your hearts. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me to pray. Even that verse that Sean read about just the favor and the reward of the Lord over your guys. Mm-hmm. I just, like when I'm with you, honestly, from the beginning, there's something that comes, even just from being with the women, just there's just such an openness and a vulnerability and a realness and a genuineness. And I just feel like God really wants to reward you guys as a body. And so I just want, if you would allow me, I would just like to pray for a moment. And Lord, I just thank you for this church and for these people. And I know they're special and they hold a special place in your heart. And I just do pray, God. I pray the reward of heaven over them, your reward over them, God, your strategy, your wisdom, God, your plan, Lord, and just your blessing, your favor, and your reward over this house and over this family, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I echo those sentiments. They're the real deal. You're privileged to have such a great pastor, people that are authentic and genuine, mean business with God, love people, right? It's not complicated. It's just not easy. That's all. Are you finding that in life? It's not really that complicated. It's just not easy. So, and sometimes we complicate it so we don't have to do the hard things. We get ourselves tied up in knots. But anyway, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for utterance in the Holy Spirit today. Thank you for your word sinking deep in our heart, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor Gary's just mentioned we're going to be seeing each other a couple times this year. We have a leadership summit planned for June the 3rd. That's first Saturday in June. That'll be in Quakertown. And Pastor Gary will fill you in. It's a Saturday for about 3 hours. Get together with several other churches. So you might want to put that on your calendar for those of you who like to plan ahead. I want to go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to read a good portion of that. Actually, I'm going to read the whole chapter is what I'm going to do. So I'd like you to read along with me. If you're a Bible underliner, it's a good chance to get your pen out. I'm reading from the New American Standard, and I'm going to emphasize something in that, especially that translation as we go forward here, okay? And we're going to read through a couple familiar verses that are going to jump. You're going to go, oh, I've heard that verse. But we're going to put it in context today. All right? So, Lord, we just let your word flow today. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, if this house, in this house, we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked, for indeed while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, always being of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. For we are of good courage, I say, and I prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one will be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also to your conscience. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of God controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from Christ, or from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, if you jump up to verse 5, there's two real power words that jump out there to me. He uses the word purpose and the word pledge. He says that God has a purpose, and that purpose that he's talked about so far, that even though life has its struggles, that we get swallowed up in life. Don't you like that? I don't know what that looks like necessarily, but I like the sound of it. I want my life, my pain, my agony, my shortcomings, my purpose, my destiny to be swallowed up in life. You know, to get swallowed doesn't take a lot of effort, by the way, if you think about that. Like there's a little fish swimming along, bigger fish comes along, swims them up. That little fish, he don't have a lot to say about that, right? So that's a great picture of God pursuing us. He's going to swallow us up. It's not our effort, but our submission to his plan. So he says there is a purpose. Now, the reason I read this chapter is because he gives us 7 highlights following this on how that purpose is accomplished in us. And I want to hit those 7 highlights real quick. Okay? But he also talks about that there is a pledge that is given, that the Spirit is given as a pledge. And you know, that pledge is not just like a handshake. He's talking about something that is a legal transaction, that he's giving us a guarantee. The Holy Spirit is our pledge. In other words, he's the guarantee of God completing the purchase he started with you when you got saved. Amen? If you own a piece of real estate, chances are, if you look in that contract somewhere, there's an old English word that's going to pop out in that contract. Almost everyone I've ever seen. It's the word earnest. And I think the King James uses that word here. That he is the earnest. He is the pledge. He's the guarantee. In other words, there's not just a down payment that's been made in your life, but God every day is continuing to possess that which he purchased. See, that's the tension we have sometimes when we're struggling with sin or disobedience or confusion or whatever it may be. That tension is that God is possessing what he purchased. God is jealous over you. And God is a lot like you. Most of you want what you pay for, amen? If you go somewhere and, you know, you order a steak and they bring you hamburgers, excuse me, wait a minute here, right? Listen, God paid for you. Hello. And he is jealous over what he paid for, and he's going to strive with you, and he's going to go after other things that try to claim possession over what he paid for. So when there's things that are interfering with that, other affections or distractions or whatever it may be, God is going to go at war with those things. The Holy Spirit is a pledge that he's going to complete that possession that he has started when you got saved. See, getting saved is just the start. That's just a start. But it's the guarantee that God wants to totally possess you, every area of your life. He wants to be Lord. He wants to be the orchestrator of every detail and wants you to rely on that completely. Now, if we jump ahead to verse 17, this is the verse that jumps out that most people have heard this verse. Have you ever heard this verse? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Have you heard that verse? I like that verse. There's a promise there, but that promise is not just a promise. There's a process there that he's talking about. How do we get to that place? Okay. I remember the first time I was witness to these people. We were hanging out in the housing project, the little gang we were part of, you know, high school kids and everything, you know, causing trouble. And, these people come out and started street preaching to us. Well, it was the craziest. I'd never heard the gospel in my life. Nobody ever witnessed us. Nobody ever invited us to church. We had no church background. They might well have been Martians. I mean, it was just, we called them the Kook Group. They were the greatest show on earth as far as we were concerned, you know. But as they begin to come out every weekend and preach to us, I noticed that this word new kept popping up a lot, okay? New life, new mercies, new day, new start, new, everything was new, you know? It was great. And I remember saying to one of these ladies that was preaching to us, I finally said to her, I said, you know, I wish I could believe this. It is just so outrageous. What you're presenting is in the realm of the absurd. That somebody like me could have a completely new life. And her answer was very simple. God will do what he said. If you're sincere, he'll give you the faith to get saved. She quoted me Ephesians 2:8-9. You're saved by grace through faith, that not yourselves. It's a gift of God. Well, listen, I wasn't the smartest tool in the shed, but I knew a good deal when I heard it, all right? If God's going to give me the faith, you're going to give me the money to buy the steak, I'm eating steak, all right? It's just that simple. God's going to give me the faith to make this divine. And I didn't know. I just prayed with my eyes open. I said, okay, Lord, if you are who they say you are, here I am. And over the course of about a week, I began to get convicted of my sin. My friends thought I was tripping, and I was. Hallelujah. I'm on a trip. I'm still on that trip. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I haven't gone backwards in Jesus' name. But can you imagine the first time in my life I felt bad about things that I was doing? Like, where is this coming from? See, God was already striving. God was already laying his hand on me. Are you with me? He had heard that sincere, irreligious prayer, and he was moving to begin to bring this whole passage to pass in my life, that I could become a new creature in Christ. So there are seven therefores in this chapter, okay? And I want to hit those therefores. Because there's a sequence, there's a building, there's a pattern here that we need to understand on how we get to that new life. And then there's one therefore after that, okay? And that's the therefore of why he made us a new creation. That why he made us a Christian and what he wants to do, what his intended purpose is not just to make our life better. That's just part of the process. Not just to give us peace. That's part of the process. Not just to give us counsel and joy and all the support that the Holy Spirit gives us. That's just exactly part of the process. So I want to go through this. In verse 6, he says, therefore we have the ability to have courage. In verse 9, he says, therefore, we have the ability to seek the Lord and be completely confident in what he's doing and what he's saying to us. In verse 11, he says, therefore, we have the fear of the Lord in our life. In verse 14, he says, therefore, God's love constrains us. In verse 16, he says, therefore, that there's no distinction between us and anyone else. You're going to read the whole text here. Now, there's a pattern here we need to grab, okay? And I want to give you this pattern because this is ultimately how you win spiritual battles that you're facing. Everybody here is in a spiritual battle. If you don't know you're in a spiritual battle, you're really in a spiritual battle. All right. It's called an ambush. So here's how it works. The first thing that happens is God speaks to you. Let's say that right now you are trying to hear the Lord on something, or you need a victory, you need a healing, you need a direction, you need whatever it may be. You know, you're trying to overcome something. The first thing you've got to have is the Word of God. God speaks to you. Just presenting your need to God is not enough. You need to have the Word of God, okay? Right? Peter was in the boat. He saw Jesus walking on the water. He said, Lord, bid me come. He needed the Word of God to come and get out of that boat, right? So the first thing that happens is God speaks to you. So when I'm trying to agree with someone, oftentimes I'll say, well, what are you standing on? And sometimes they just look at me like, what do you mean, what am I standing on? I said, I just don't want to agree for your need. I want to agree for the answer. So what's the word? What is the word of the Lord? What verse, what chapter, what are you agreeing for? You're agreeing, God, to do something great in your life. You're agreeing to break a pattern in your life. Where is that found? Where do you get that? What authority do you have to stand on that? See, that word will not fade away, okay? So, number one, God speaks to you. There's a pattern. Number two is God speaks for you. It's God's voice of affirmation. And what this chapter is full of here is a lot of words of affirmation. All those therefores are God saying, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Who here loves affirmation? All right. How many of us go out of our way to find somebody that will speak a nice discouraging word to us? You know, I'm just feeling so good. I'm going to go find that sister sandpaper just so she can rub me the wrong way and just discourage me. None of us, but we tend to gravitate toward people that have a little bit of joy in their life. Amen. We tend to just kind of cozy up next to them because we like that affirmation, right? We like to say, hey, that was a good job. I appreciate you doing that. You know, God knows that. And God is a father. Hello. And the voice of the Father is to speak for us. God is trying to speak for you. He speaks to you. He speaks for you so that he can speak through you. Okay? I want you to get that. God speaks to you. Is God speaking to you? Now, there's several different ways God speaks to you. And I know this is sometimes intimidating when you're beginning your walk with the Lord. You hear about, oh, God speaking this person, God speak that person. Well, God will speak to you through the Holy Spirit, through a still small voice. Okay? God can speak to you through somebody just saying something. Sometimes they don't even know God's using them. Has that ever happened to you? Somebody just says something, you're like, whoa, that was God speaking. God will speak to you through good anointed preaching. God will speak to you through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or words of wisdom, words of knowledge. But primarily, God speaks to you through His Word. So no matter where you're at on your spiritual journey, no matter where you find yourself, open up the Word and say, God, speak to me. Okay? The Bible says that His Word is of no private interpretation. So that Word applies to all of us. So that's the first place you start. At the end of the day, you want to have a chapter verse. God speaks to you. What are you standing on? What are you believing on? The decisions you're making, are they just human intuition, or are they based on the Word? Then the second thing is God wants His voice of affirmation. You got to be open to the voice of affirmation, okay? That's one of the reasons God calls the church together. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because what happens when we come together? We sing, we testify, we encourage one another, amen, we admonish one another, okay? That's affirmation. Hey, we're going in the right direction. We're rolling forward together in Jesus' name. And then ultimately, we come to this unbelievable conclusion that God can speak even through me. Even a flawed, not unperfect vessel, that God wants to speak through me. So God speaks to me, God speaks for me, and God speaks through me. That's the process of Christian discipleship. If you want to win souls and make disciples, if you want to expand the kingdom of God, if you want to engage the culture, if you want to go to other nations, whatever it is, that process, first you're going to have to hear from God. Then you're going to have God's affirmation, because the devil's not going to tell you you're going to do it. Right? And I don't know about you, but my flesh always says no. My flesh always says you're crazy. My flesh says, what are you doing now? You can't do that. You're not qualified to do that. Right? Join the crowd, okay? I'm not going to listen to my flesh. So I need to hear the Father's voice of affirmation coming from the Word and coming from fellowshipping with godly people. I'm going to trust them. Are you with me? Okay? And then because of that, I'm going to believe the next outrageous thing God's going to do is God is going to speak through me. Hallelujah. God's not waiting for you to get to some plateau to speak through you. Okay? God wants to be, because it's His speaking through you that actually helps cleanse you and get you to that other step. The Word of God is, the name of this church is Streams of Life. What is that stream? It's the Word of the Lord. Amen. And that cleanses us and provokes us and brings us to another step of maturity. Hallelujah. So that God can speak through us. Now, in verse 17, he says the conclusion of those things, the conclusion of that process, the conclusion of all those affirmations is we begin to walk in newness of life. I just don't get saved and turn into a new creature without any process happening. God's Holy Spirit filter is working, those therefores, that voices of affirmation, choosing to believe what God said about me. I'll just share something. We've heard great testimonies of faith. Penny and I, we've seen God do incredible things in our life, okay? But the greatest step of faith you'll ever take is believing what God has said about you. That's the greatest step of faith. Daring to believe that when you read that, that your name is there. That you're a son, that you're a daughter of God. That opens up the gateway of every other miraculous, supernatural, blessed thing that can happen. That's where that all starts, and it must start indeed. And sometimes, quite frankly, we complicate a little bit. So he says in verse 17, therefore, or because of, therefore is a conclusion. I think the King James uses the word wherefore a couple times instead of therefore. Okay, wherefore, therefore. But then we get down to verse 20, okay? And he says this. He says, therefore, the final conclusion in this thought process here is therefore we are ambassadors. In other words, God's ultimate intention is to make you an ambassador. So I want to talk about being ambassadors for a little bit. All right? An ambassador is a diplomatic this word is only used two times in the New Testament, but it's not a word that's thrown around. And it's not a word that was thrown around in Greek culture. It's not a word that was thrown around in Roman culture. So this word had a very high distinction, just like it does now. When we talk about somebody being an ambassador of the United States, we're talking about the highest political envoy. We're talking about a person who's been delegated to speak from one nation to another nation. Now, listen to me for a second here. God's calling on your life, no matter what your vocation is for you to speak from one nation to another nation. Jesus taught his disciples to pray this prayer, thy kingdom come, that heaven would come to earth. You know how he's going to do that? Through his ambassadors. You know what this church is? This church is an embassy of the kingdom of heaven. And the weary can run into it and be protected by a king. Hallelujah. Come on now. That should make you shout. You're part of an embassorial staff. And we represent another kingdom. Our job is not to blend into the culture of the world, but to say there is a kingdom culture that exists here. Because God is a king, and he's establishing his world, and this is a diplomatic zone that we live in. And we live under his rules and his reign and his regulation. Hallelujah. Amen. We're ambassadors. We've been called to speak from one nation to another nation. To other nations, I really should say, to make it clear. And sometimes we complicate that. And I'm going to tell you how we complicate it. We complicate it because if we don't have the Father's affirmation, we feel like we've got to speak for ourselves. And we start defending ourselves rather than pointing people to Jesus. You know, with some of this same-sex marriage stuff that was going on, especially last year, a lot of it was in the news. And, you know, I saw some Christians on TV and, you know, some news things. And I think some of them did a very fine job. Some of them just did, an outstanding job. But some of them, although they articulated well, really were defending their human position rather than saying, listen, God made man, God made woman, this is his deal. Get another question? See, sometimes we complicate. Well, what about this and what about that? You know, I don't know about all those things. I know about some of them, but that's really not the issue. God made man and God made woman. So that, you know, if you got a problem, you have to talk to God about that. I'm a Christian. I believe the, see, that's what an ambassador does. If you've ever watched some political shenanigans that are going on, they're always trying to get the ambassador to say something he's not authoritatively been given to say. And ambassadors are not allowed to have an opinion. What do you, I've asked them. I was in Romania one time when the United States ambassador was speaking because there was a little dust up. And they kept saying, well, what, and he kept saying, the position of the United States of America is this. That was the answer to everything. Okay. This is the position. In other words, ambassadors do not offer their own opinion and they don't make rules. Now listen, this should help you, okay? This frees you up from feeling like, listen, I gotta be the Bible answer man or the Bible, I gotta know every little thing about every little thing, but I can point them to the one who, that doesn't mean we shouldn't study to show ourselves approved and we shouldn't know what the Bible says and we shouldn't be able to defend our faith. I'm not suggesting that whatsoever. What I'm suggesting is we gotta make sure that we're not defending ourselves and we're pointing people to Jesus. So if they're going to stumble, they're going to stumble over Jesus. They're not going to stumble over us. Amen? I had a situation a few years ago. Planned Parenthood was suing our church for hurting their business. Hallelujah. Praise God. And let me just share something with you. These groups like Americans United for the Separation of Church and State that send letters to school districts say the football coach can't play with the players. Listen. You know what they are? They're just bullies. They're just acts of intimidation, and they're convinced that if they send you a mean letter and scare you, and that you'll just stop doing what you're doing. So they're not ready to encounter any spiritual resistance that is met with any kind of strategic resistance. So we're going through this process, and we're sitting around this big table in a deposition, you know, and I've got really good spirit-filled lawyers that they weren't expecting. Are you with me? I mean, we're ready, all right? And so they're asking me questions. They're saying, Reverend Tusi, you know, in a mocking voice, I should note too, you know? I never use that term, but anyway. They're saying, did you ever say, God hates the hands that shed innocent blood? I said, I never said that. They said, did you ever say, cursed is the man that takes the bribe on behalf of an innocent life? They're quoting scripture. They don't even know they're quoting scripture. So this is great. I got the devil quoting scripture now. Hallelujah. All right. So they're, I mean, we're going down the list. And every time they do that, they have these big boxes and they're putting up recordings and they're putting up newsletters and they're putting up church bulls. They're just stacking this thing. And they got big grins on. They think, you know, they look like the cat, you know, that got the canary. They're all excited. And they get to the end of this. They say, well, what do you say about this? I said, oh, you're very confused. I said, I didn't say any of those things. I said, God said those things. I'm just a messenger boy. I said, if you got a problem, sue God. But do you see how we could back ourselves into a corner and become defensive and say, wait a minute, you know, well, you know, wait a minute. I don't make the rules. I'm an ambassador. You got a problem? Go see the king. I'm just his envoy. And I got a sneaky suspicion if we'd point some more people to the king and let them stumble over trying to find him and go to Jesus to get the answers, it might be better than us trying to explain things to them that we can't even figure out ourselves. That's good preaching. Yeah. We're tempted to do that, aren't you? I'm tempted to do that. I want to show people how smart I am. That ain't going to work real well. Are you with me? Sometimes it's okay just to say, I don't make the rules. I'm just telling you what I know the Bible to say. Why don't you talk to Jesus? The Bible says he's the cornerstone. He's a stumbling block of offense. And I think sometimes we get too cute and we get too complicated rather than just saying, look, I just represent another king. And I just follow his rules. And I want you to come be part of his kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a good place to be in Jesus' name. That's how it ought to work. You know, I'm a big fan of the Addams Family. Not the TV show, the presidents, President Number 2 and President Number 6, John Adams and John Quincy Adams. You know, they were father and son. And if you read anything about international negotiations or ambassadorship or anything, these men really wrote the book. I mean, John Quincy Adams was traveling Europe with Benjamin Franklin when John Quincy was 15 years old. He could read and write 7 languages. He was a brilliant man. Wrote a brilliant doctrinal discourse on the Trinity, by the way, too. Very interesting, because a lot of people in his day were deist, and they struggled with the deity of Christ. They believed in a supreme being, but they stumbled over Jesus being very God. Okay? And so he wrote a great discourse on it. Very, very spiritual guy. Very intense guy. These guys would never win an election today. They had no political bones on their body. They didn't have a spin doctor. They went straight at everything. But they made incredible accomplishments because of that. But what was happening was after John Adams was no longer president, Thomas Jefferson became president, and they were not political allies. There were pretty sharp division among the parties in those days. Not a lot different than it is today. We think what we're experiencing today is unique. It's not good, but unfortunately it's not unique either. So they had that kind of tension, okay? But John Adams was an ambassador in Europe, okay? And he is communicating with Thomas Jefferson. Remember, they're not political allies, but they're intent on one thing. They represent one nation. See, as believers, we should be intent on one thing. We represent one king. Amen? We represent one king. So if we're gonna have dust ups, let's do it in here. Let's not do it out in the world, right? Amen? Let's get it straightened out in the house of God, not out on town square somewhere. So what happened is that we had this problem. We had these pirates that now that we were a new nation, we were not flying under the coverage of other nations, our shipping channels. France had protected our shipping channels, had protected our shipping. And so now these Muslim pirates were hijacking American cargo, hijacking American sailors, and they were holding them in slavery and selling them to other nations. And the way all the other nations dealt with it is they paid bribes to them. Okay? They paid a tax to them. As a matter of fact, it was so perverse, there was actually a missionary arm of the Catholic Church in Spain that their whole existence for the ministry was to be the delivery people to pay the bribes and collect the slaves. And so John Adams, after dealing with these people and dealing with these people, he's telling Jefferson, like, you cannot, signing a treaty with these people means nothing. Their theology, he's telling, their theology means they can lie to further their means. That's part of Islam, okay? That's why you can't make a pact with them. So here's what happened. They came up with this incredible diplomatic policy that almost every nation follows today, at least they're supposed to. They do. Most of them, we do. For the most part, as far as I know, anyway. And it was very simply this. We will not negotiate with terrorists. People that mean harm for us, we're not going to negotiate with you. Because the price only gets higher. You cannot buy off intimidation. The people and the things that threaten you, whether it's a spirit of fear or a mean person or whatever it may be, you can't buy them off. They always want more, right? They always want more. And I'm telling you, in our walk with God, God is jealous over those things. Because I said, He's Lord. He's given us a pledge. Amen? And He doesn't want you negotiating with terrorists. I hate fear. I hate the spirit of fear. I hate it. I can smell it in a room. Yet many believers that love God are filled with the Spirit because they lack the Father's affirmation, walk in a spirit of fear. And they don't even know that it's that fear that's controlling them rather than the voice of affirmation that's controlling them. They're believing, another report, and they're not acting as an ambassador, they're acting as a slave to something. Let me read James 4:4 to you for a moment. Well, listen to this. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy to God. What in the world? I mean, that's not a verse we're going to put out on the sign out front. Listen, here's what's he saying here. He's not talking about being friendly. Let's make that real clear. We ought to be the friend, Christians ought to be the friendliest people on earth. Matter of fact, if I can give you a 30-second soul winning seminar that'll work. Are you ready? You ready, Gary? Here's how it works. This will work every time for you. Anybody here want to win people to Jesus? Anybody here are like, how do you get started? Right? Here's how you do it. Watch this. This is really good. This is going to change your life. Hi, how are you? That's it. You're friendly. Here's a good rule to make. You be the first person in the room or in the elevator or in the office or in line to say hello. And I guarantee you, if you do that for a week, if you do that, you will end up in a great spiritual conversation with someone. I guarantee you. Because you might be the only person that said hello to these people all week long and actually meant it when they look in your eyes and they see some life. How are you? You know, I've said that to people and they've actually told me. And they told me things that I was like, really? I'm trying to, you know, like I don't even know you. Because no one's asked them. So this verse is not talking about being friendly. It's talking about having what we call a soul tie. He who has friendship with the world. In other words, somebody who's trading the affirmation of the Father for the affirmation of the world. Please love me. Please love my hair. Love my clothes. Love this. Love that. You know, don't let that dictate to you who you are. God is jealous over that. You're an ambassador. You represent a king. You play to the audience of one. You've only got to please one person. Do not complicate this. Once you do that, you're free and your hair can be any color you want and your clothes can be any way you want. Just cover up a little bit and you'll be good. Hallelujah. He's talking about us getting sucked into this thing where we forget who we are. And we have an adulterous relationship with the world. We're loving the world and we're selling our souls so the world will love us. And we're letting them tweak our opinions. And tweak our directions and tweak our decisions so they'll, oh, please love me. That's a basic human need. But it needs to come from God first. If you get that from God, you'll not only be able to receive love, you'll actually be able to give love. You know what's fun about that? Because when you give it, not everybody gives it back. But that doesn't become the barometer. That doesn't become the barometer because you got more where that came from. See, if you're giving love and you don't get it back and you stop giving it, that's because you don't have any more to give. But if it's coming through the Father, you're going to have lots more where that came from. All right? And I'm still talking about ambassadors here. So it's okay to be friendly. Matter of fact, the Bible admonishes us to be friendly. The Bible admonishes us to be, you know, people that have civility in our relationships. But it cautions us against having emotional ties where we're looking for the approval of one because once we do that, we cannot function as ambassadors. Can you imagine that ambassador from EMEA thinking, man, I really want these people to like me. I don't care what President Bush said. Here's what I think. And I think sometimes we do that. Not consciously, hopefully. but subconsciously because we've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten that we are new creatures in Christ and that God in his outrageous wisdom and humor sees us as his ambassadors. Hallelujah. You know, at the beginning of, or even prior to World War II, in 1933, President Roosevelt had to make a diplomatic change with our ambassador to Germany. And he picked a guy that caused quite a stir. And the reason he caused quite a stir is no one ever heard of this guy. He had no political experience. He had never run for office. But Roosevelt had a plan. This guy's name was William Dodd. He was a college professor. But he had been educated as a young man, got his doctorate degree in Germany as a young man. And he not only was an expert on Germany, he loved German people. He loved German food. He loved German language. He loved German history. He loved German literature. He loved German poetry. He loved German music. He loved Germany. He could give lectures. He could give history. He knew the political scenarios. And this is in 1933. As Churchill said, the storm clouds were already hovering. And we knew things were coming to pass. We had no idea how vicious they would be and how fast they would move. So he sends this man to Germany, okay? And his name is William Dowd. You can get his memoirs. You can read them. They're heartbreaking to read. Because this guy began to understand that even though he loved Germany and he loved German people, that his desire to be friends with them could not trump his ambassadorial relationships. So Roosevelt sent a guy that they had to say, this guy really likes us. This guy doesn't have a chip on his shoulder against us. This guy, when we have meetings and we talk about our history, he knows some of the answers that we don't know. When we quote our poets, he can tell us who wrote it. When we sing our songs, he can finish the stanza. When we order off the menu, he knows what's going to come. He was thoroughly engrossed and appreciative of German culture and what they had contributed to the world up to that point. But that friendship did not stop him from understanding his course of business and why he was there. And finally, I guess it was in 38, I think, when he was pulled, he finally said, you have to get me out of here. You have to get me out of here. What I'm saying to you is this. We got to be the friendliest people on earth. But we need to remind ourselves who sent us. And we need to be divinely suspicious of earthly soul ties that will bargain for our affection. Things that we sense ourselves leaning and wanting their approval more than we want the approval of God. Usually subtle. See, for most believers, it's usually subtle because the enemy doesn't want to have a face-to-face confrontation with you. He just wants to try to get you on the installment plan. He wants to try to get you to begin to answer for yourself. Well, why would you say that? I didn't say anything. I'm just reading from the book here. We had another situation some years ago. We were actually in New Orleans, and they were trying to obtain a temporary restraining order against us. You know, and the temporary restraining orders where they just make a law where there is no law just in case you do something wrong. Because we had a whole bunch of people and we were out on the street and it was actually good stuff was happening, you know. But not good for the abortion industry, you know, because we were stirring the pot up. And so they went into court and they presented it like, you know, like we were terrorists. And if you'd heard some of the things, were like, oh my goodness, you know. And you know what? That scared some Christians away. Like, yeah, we believe in what you're doing, but we don't want to be called those names. Like, well, Jesus got called some names. No, what you got to make sure is there's no evidence that goes with that. That's what you got to make sure about. Okay. That's the deal. Okay. Let's be clear there. So we had this really great lawyer, and he was just a ball of fun, and he was a pretty new convert and had really run into the Holy Ghost. And he was a trial lawyer. He called himself an international ambulance chaser. You know, so he had big cases like airline, but when he got saved, right? And in these cases on these TROs, you very seldom ever win one because the judiciary is going to say, let's just be careful here. Let's make the rule. Let's just do this. Let's just say you got to do this and that. Just in case anything they said about you was true. Okay. You know, precaution. And I understand that. I mean, I understand that. So he says to us, he says, you realize you never win these things. And we had never won one before. Never. You know, and we'd gone through this many times. He says, so let's just have fun. I said, let's have fun. We're in federal court. Let's have fun. You know? So he gets the parade of witnesses. He runs through and, you know, they got lawyers flying in from New York and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And the judges kind of tolerate. He's just going along and he's just not in a hurry and he's letting people have their say and we're going through this whole thing. And, so this attorney's name was John. So finally he puts me on the stand and, he says, Reverend Tusi, can I ask you some questions? I said, yeah. So he starts asking me theological questions. He said, look, we're not going to win on a point of law here. We're just going to have fun. You want to preach? I'm going to let you preach, you know? You came here to witness? You're going to get the witness. That was this. So he starts just asking me questions about, you know, not what we're doing, but why we're doing it. I'm talking about the shedding of innocent blood. I'm talking about women that are being lied to. I'm talking about, you know, people that really need hope. I'm going to down through the whole list. So this is about a half an hour, you know. So that all ends. And so then the next attorney, the other side gets up and she makes the mistake of saying, well, why don't you give me a verse for that or something? She was real cocky. I said, oh, great. So I start, you know, and she's like, look, Your Honor, I object. You know, it was the greatest moment in history. He turns and goes, listen, we've been in court for 3 days and I've been hearing all about all this. I want to hear what the man has to say. And so John's going, like, just, I told him everything I knew. I mean, I must have been up there for an hour and a half. I'm just spouting every verse that the Holy Spirit, I'm just, you know, and they're objecting and he's telling them to sit down and shut up. And it was awesome. We won that case. It was the only temporary restraining order we ever won in probably 20 or 30 tries. Probably the only one we ever won. No, we'd win them on the back end. We went in for permanent restraining orders and all that kind of, we usually, you know, prevail at that point. But listen, you've got to be conscious of who you're speaking for. It's so easy to want to, you know, they were saying, I mean, I was an axe murderer. You know, I was kidnapping children. I mean, anything you could say. I mean, I wanted to defend myself so bad. Do you understand that? But he was so smart, this spiritual attorney. He said, we're just going to stay with Scripture. And the irony is that that's the only one of those that we ever won with all the slick, political, support and everything that we had. Hallelujah. Listen, here's good news. Ambassadors don't make policy. We don't make policy. We just follow the rules, right? I started out this morning by saying, that it's not complicated. It's just not easy, right? God actually does speak in straight lines more than we give him credit for. And he wants to speak in straight lines through us. And he wants us to point people to the Father so they can have that voice of affirmation. Don't complicate your witness. Don't be afraid to say, I respectfully, you're at the water cooler, I respectfully disagree. What do you mean disagree? Well, there's this verse in the Bible. What do you mean there's this verse in the Bible? Well, what do you think? Well, what I think about it really doesn't matter. I'm not God. Well, what do you, I don't know about that other thing you're talking about, but this one, but how about this verse? You've ever read that verse? Are you with me? That's how ambassadors think. I've been sent for a mission. I'm an envoy from one nation to another nation. The reason God made me a new creation is so that I could represent a new kingdom.
That's right.
If you keep the goal in mind, sometimes the journey will stay a little bit straighter. If you lose track of where you're going, the road can get a lot more crooked. Now, the Apostle Paul did say, I finished my course. Interesting word. Not a straight line. I finished my course. But he got to where he was going. Right? Amen. So some of us are on a course. It's not a straight line. But listen, the ultimate intention, how God sees you today, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what I don't know about you, listen, God knows it all, and he sees you as an ambassador. He knows it all. That's his intention, and nothing is going to change his mind. He wants to bring you into that conformity. Amen? That's why you've been made a new creature. That's why he made you that purpose. That's why he wants to swallow up your life. That's why he gave you that pledge to mark you. By the way, that thing talks about the king's mark. The pledge was always a king's seal. Are you with me? We're standing in the embassy of heaven this morning. The local church. God's plan A. I will build my church. Amen? Hallelujah. We're like Noah's Ark. We might be rocking. We might be a little smelly sometimes, but we're the only thing floating. Hallelujah. Amen? Just the truth will set you free, right? Why don't you stand up with me this morning? Hallelujah. Just open your heart to the Holy Spirit this morning. There is nothing the enemy would like to do than have you totally focused on you. I didn't say not at all focused. I said totally focused. Our own pains, our own hurts, our own disappointments rule us. I can imagine some of those ambassadors. I can imagine John Quincy. Matter of fact, some of his memoirs when he was an ambassador to Russia as a young married man, just missing his family so desperately, writing from Russia, wanting so much to be back in America, but realizing that we were at a critical time as a nation, and if he did the right things, some good things could happen. That's human pain. But he had a bigger vision than that. Hallelujah. God wants to deal with our human pain, there's no doubt, and our complexities, and even when we shoot ourselves in the foot, okay? But one of the ways he does it is not just by meeting us where we're at, but pulling us out from where we're at, making a way of escape. And part of that way of escape is following his will and realizing, you know what? I might walk with a limp, but I walk toward the king. And I'm an ambassador. And it's amazing to me in my life how we've battled our own issues and struggles and challenges and all those things. How those things can't quite stay on you when you see God is using you to touch other people's lives. They seem to lose their adhesive grip. You know what I mean? So it's just good to be reminded. You're an ambassador. Will you dare to use your faith to believe the things that God has said about you? I'd encourage you just to read this chapter. Just meditate on it. Soak it. Look at, write those therefores down. Therefore, be of good courage. Therefore, it says we know that we can please God. Hallelujah. How many believers today really don't believe they could please God? I meet Christians all the time that don't believe they can please God. But God's voice of affirmation says that we're pleasing to him. Like a little child. Isn't it amazing? A little kid pooping their diaper can please their mom. Hallelujah. Well, if that'll work for them, it'll work for Father God. Amen? Hallelujah. So just open your heart here. Holy Spirit, God. I pray we just get a bite, Lord. We get a taste this morning. Lord, we talk about your kingdom. God, but you've called us ambassadors, Lord. You told us to pray for your kingdom to come on earth and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. God, so many believers are waiting to go to heaven and you're waiting for heaven to come to earth, Lord. I pray for every man, every woman, every young person under the sound of my voice this morning, God. Lord, to hear such the voice of affirmation from the Father. That we could say with all sincerity, I didn't say that, God said that. And feel no necessity to defend ourselves whatsoever in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, we're at the beginning of a new year, and it's a good time for resolutions. I don't poo-poo those things. I think they're great. I love it. It challenges me every year to look at the areas of my life that I want to be better, I want to be different, and to really get a spiritual plan to go after those things. And you know, I'll tell you, some of the years I've made the same plans, but I'm gonna keep at it. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you this year to really think about winning souls and making disciples. Yes. Yep. I'm telling you, there are people around you that are waiting for you to tell them, hello, how are you? You don't have to sit down with them and start giving them an explanation of the book of Revelation. And if they ask you a question about the book of Revelation, you don't know, say, you know, I don't know, but I'll be glad to read the Bible with you about it. Hallelujah. Remember, today, when you stop for lunch or for gas, or tomorrow when you go to work, whatever, that you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You are an ambassador. You speak for somebody else. Hallelujah. It's interesting that throughout history, a lot of our ambassadors have been challenged on their credentials. You know what their credentials are? Who sent me? You know what Moses said to God? Who should I say sent me? Boy, he knew something, didn't he, when he asked that question. I'm telling you in Jesus' name. I didn't say this. I just know word. I'm just reading from the book. God has sent you. Even in your weakness, even in your brokenness, even in your incompleteness, God has sent you to be an ambassador. Be a fountain of life to somebody. Let that flow through you, and it will begin to put some of the very hardships that you're dealing with in the proper perspective. It might not make all the pain go away, but it'll sure make it worth jumping to the next rock. Amen? Are you with me? So, Father, I pray that blood, I pray that anointing, God, I pray for a revelation of that to happen in this house this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And, Lord, I pray for an impartation of boldness, too. Boldness is not volume, church. Listen to me. Some of the my wife is a very bold person, but she's not a loud person, okay? But she's very bold. She'll approach people. She'll deal with things. Okay? I'm a louder person. You don't have to be loud to be bold. This is not a personality trait. This is the trait of the Father. Are you with me? So in the gift mix that God has given you, okay, just be his ambassador. Just speak for God. Well, what do you think about, you know, this? Well, you know, I don't have all, but I'll tell you what God said about it. Here's what God said about it. Okay? And you answer for God. Are you with me? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to seal this word this morning, Lord. Seal this word in this house, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for a revelation and anointing to be ambassadors today. And thank you for this embassy of heaven that's here for this community, Lord, to run in it and find safety in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.